Hello and welcome to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors that comes out every Monday-ish. I'm your primary Melbourne host, Matt.
Well, today is Monday, and if you upload it at 11:59, it's technically coming out on Monday, so...
And I can backdate the timestamps, so exactly. That's also an option.
So if anyone asks, it came out this morning. Also, I'm Cliff.
Hi, Cliff. How are you today?
You know, it's warm in Adelaide. Real warm.
It's warm in Melbourne, which is fucking bullshit.
Well, I mean, yeah, but in like an hour's time, it'll probably be snowing.
It's 31 degrees today, and I moved to Melbourne because it's cold here all the time, and it's not cold here. It's 31 degrees, and tomorrow's 32, and I don't like it. Also, trams get really hot when they are full of people.
Yep, buses too, but I rode my motorbike today, so...
Well, yes, I've just learned to wedge myself next to a window and breathe shallow breaths. But that is not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about video games and nerd culture. Do you want to talk about those things, Clifford?
Well, I mean, I guess.
Good. It's definitely not getting old after 52 episodes. What are we at this point? 52?
Well, the thing about nerd stuff is there's always new nerd stuff.
That's true, and there's definitely some new nerd stuff this week as well, but not that much because we pruned down the boring stuff. Do you want to start with that, or do you want to start with what we've been playing?
Let's go with what we've been playing first, because my list is going to be super fast. I have not played anything new in the last week. I spent most of my time kind of catching up on crap that I needed to do since PAX weekend, and finally did it over the weekend. I just played more Destiny and more PUBG.
Very nice. I have been playing multiple things. A lot of it is consistent with last time, but there's a couple titles I realized that I never talked about in all the kind of PAX rigmarole. So firstly, I finished Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus. It was very good.
I have heard that it's good. I actually watched a Let's Play in the first hour or so, and it's pretty fun. It's pretty fucked up too.
Oh yeah, the intro. It's funny, like I heard initial coverage for the game, people saying, like doing a, you know, a Let's Play or a first 15 minutes video isn't really representative of the game, and after playing it, I understand why. It's a lot of table setting, I think you could say, that really kind of frames the rest of the story. And yeah, it's kind of fucked up. But then, you know, it goes completely batshit insane towards the end, as with all good Wolfenstein games. I won't spoil any of that because we're still fresh, and I don't want to say any keywords that are going to ruin surprises for you, because... in my experience, at least, there's nothing better than having them say a thing that they're going to do or go to or make happen and then saying, wait, what? Because that was half of my Wolfenstein playthrough.
Right, okay, cool.
Yeah, so finished the campaign for Wolfenstein. It was short for a story-driven game, but long for an FPS. So it was kind of this weird middle ground. But it seemed to come to a pretty good resolution. I look forward to finding out where Wolfenstein 3... the new replacement noun goes, because there'll definitely be one. But in the meantime, they've got the Freedom Chronicles DLC coming up, which will be three kind of mini stories about other heroes of the American Resistance, which apparently, from what I've heard described, they each focus on one of the three optional mechanics you can unlock in the game. So at a point in the story, there's three pieces of salvaged Nazi tech that you can repair one of. So there's a sort of shoulder harness thing that lets you smash through walls and sort of kill guys with like a, you know, a bum rush. There are leg prosthetics that let you basically walk on stilts so you can reach high, hard to reach places. And there's a chest constrictor that can crush your body down so you can squeeze through tiny spaces. And it seems like these three Freedom Chronicles heroes each embody one of those power sets. So if you picked one and wanted to see what the others are like, you can go back and try them out. Which, yeah, it's cool. And they're kind of diverse heroes. There's a black footballer whose name was Joseph Stallion, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. There's, I can't remember, it's something like Lady Red Death or something, who's kind of a spy lady. And a third hero who I cannot remember, who would be the Stilt Power. But yeah, so that was a fun romp, and I look forward to the DLC when it rolls out. In the meantime, I'd also been playing more Mario Odyssey because there are, I found out, 999 moons to collect.
Yeah, and speaking of that, did you hear about the guy that collected all of them in 17 hours?
Is he dead now?
He's a world record holder. He may be dead.
I did see that that Griffin McElroy did finish it and then showed off what you get for all of that work. And it's something.
Is it a piece of shit like when you collect all the things in Zelda?
Moving on.
Right, gotcha. Thanks, Nintendo.
Yeah. I won't spoil it, but yeah, I mean, you're playing it for the joy of it. Honestly, I've circled back to this game a couple of times, knowing that I don't have to, just because it's fun trying to dig up all these
There is
moons.
No way in hell you're playing Super Mario Odyssey, collecting all 900 and whatever things for the fun of it. You're collecting it because Nintendo put it there, and they know that you people are crazy people.
It's fun, though. I get to go back to all these worlds that I explored already and root around it for new stuff that's appeared. It's kind of good. But besides that, I'd also cycled back to Fire Emblem Warriors, which was the Dynasty Warriors-style Fire Emblem game, and been playing through the story of that, which is good. I mean, it's Fire Emblem. It's not an amazing story ever, but it's lots of fun fan characters that I get to play around with. And lastly, Assassin's Creed Origins, which I still don't know how I feel about. Like, it's good, but it's not normal Assassin's Creed. It's very kind of mission-based, and I still don't know how I feel about it. But I'm like a dozen hours in, at least, and I definitely haven't unlocked all the mechanics in the game yet.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's going to be a long game.
Yeah. They do a thing that they did in Syndicate previously, where you have sort of your murder board, the different figures you need to take down. In this one, they're members of an ancient order, so you know they're kind of code names, I guess. They're all named after animals. Mm-hmm. And then you have to sort of figure out which person is which animal.
Do you have to kill the jackal?
You do kill the jackal. I've already killed the jackal.
Is he Bruce Willis? Does he have a moustache?
He is not Bruce Willis.
Damn it. What's even the point?
Unlike that movie, they actually cast Egyptian people as Egyptians.
I mean, the jackal's not an Egyptian guy. That's just a code name.
But this is set in ancient Egypt, so Bruce Willis probably not around.
I've seen worse casting.
I've definitely seen worse casting. But yeah, so you kind of get an initial run of these ancients to hunt down, then you find out there's more, so your kind of murder dream board expands. And I honestly don't know how many there'll be in total, but some of them seem to blast past really quickly, and others don't. But in between, there's like an infinite amount of side missions. And yeah, like it's a different Assassin's Creed, and I don't know if I'll be able to fully form an opinion of it until I've completely finished it. But I'm not turning away from it, so that's a good sign.
Right, right, cool.
And the only other thing I've been consuming is Stranger Things, which I finished yesterday.
Boy, it's good.
And it was quite a good television series. I look forward to the third season of Stranger Things.
Yeah, how's it? So, the ending, right? So, we're going to keep it kind of spoiler-free. But yes, the ending is very similar structurally to the first season. So you get the resolution, you get the nice little after bit, and then you get the stab in the back.
The coda that kind of says, but we're not done yet.
So we're getting to in the niceties with the nice part where everyone's happy and stuff, which is it seems extended in this season, which was really, really cool, really, really fun. A couple of characters have some really great moments in there. And then the whole time I'm like, oh, this is so nice, but where's the butt? Like, where's that knife? And then it, you know, does a really, really cool thing, which I won't give it away, but it does a really, really cool thing. You're like, and there it is.
Yeah. One thing that did kind of trip me up in watching the series, though, was more times than it felt like they needed to, they used the same camera trick, which was to end an episode on a shot and then turn it upside down, which I know, I get it, the upside down, it's part of the story, but it gets used a little bit too often, like, and it felt like it lost its specialty when you do the, it's upside down now, and cut to black.
I didn't mind it. I thought it was alright.
Yeah, there were definitely some really amazing cinematography in this season, which I think stepped up even from last season.
Oh, yeah. This season is pretty...
Yeah, I will say, so I'm not going to spoil by naming characters or anything, but there's a scene towards the end of the season where one character is talking to another about a third character and saying what they're capable of and what they've been through and all this kind of stuff. And that third character is standing behind them, but there are flashing lights going, so the main guy speaking is visible, but the third party is only visible when the lights light up, and it just looks amazing, kind of pulsing in and out of existence.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm assuming you know which scene I'm talking about at this point. Yeah. Just, yeah, little touches like that I felt really elevated it. And it could well have been that that kind of stuff was in the first season, but I wasn't paying as much attention to it at that point.
I think they have stepped it up this season. Mm. The first season was very pretty as well, but I think they've made it a lot more cinematic in this one.
Yeah, and also lots of little sort of ambient storytelling touches that I noticed. Like early on in the season, you've got some scenes in the sheriff's department and you see Hopper kind of pick up a donut, and while he's talking to someone else, the receptionist just takes it out of his hand and puts an apple in there.
Yeah.
And like, as he's sort of charging out the door, she just holds up his keys and he grabs them. It's just little characterization touches like that that I really appreciated.
Yeah, Hopper had a really good season, I thought.
Yeah, Hopper did good for a guy who started off popping pills and like passing out on his couch at the start of the first season.
And banging randos.
Now, Hopper is everybody's dad and he takes care of everyone.
Mm-hmm. Whether they're happy about it or not. That's exactly what I was really happy with. People freaking out. He's telling them how it's got to be. They're freaking out and he's just like, I don't care. It's got to be like this.
Fuck your own bullshit. This is what's happening.
This is happening.
Yeah. Just overall, I felt like almost every character had a really solid season. It did feel like a couple were shortchanged or kind of used in bursts, but yeah, pretty balanced for a second season.
Yeah. So let's talk about the infamous episode 7.
Yes. How are we going to talk about this without spoiling anything?
Let's just say, like, okay, so there are characters introduced throughout the whole season. This episode 7 deals with a character that's newly introduced to the season, in season 2, so it's a newer character. That particular actor could not act for crap, I thought. I just did not like the performance whatsoever.
I enjoyed how the character was introduced. I don't enjoy how the character ended up. Like, the kind of twist and reveal thing, not a fan. And it was clearly place setting for third season shenanigans. Totally.
That's the only reason that episode should be there, is to set up season 3.
But, like, in concept, what they're introducing there, kind of expanding the universe, I really liked the idea of. But in practice, maybe didn't work out super great.
It was just massively out of place.
Yeah. I mean, as the start of a season, it would have been really good, but mid-season, halfway through the action...
It really breaks the flow, doesn't it, of the series. Ideally, you would have that as a season 3 opener, but the way the characters had to be in relation to each other, that's the tough bit to get it to season 3 opener.
Yeah, and I mean, in practice, yes, the episode did accomplish some character growth that was necessary and also involved a costume change that was pretty fucking badass. But, overall, it felt like the weak link of the season. Also the weak link of this podcast episode for anybody who's listening who doesn't watch Stranger Things. So you're welcome for all that.
But, I mean, if they're listening to this, to our podcast, and there's plenty of stuff that we talk about that not everyone... actually is exposed to, so
there's plenty of stuff you talk about that I'm not exposed to,
exactly, so it's all fine.
In summation, my only major criticism about this season of Stranger Things is Netflix needs to disable the option to skip the intro, because why the fuck would I ever do that?
I posted about that on Facebook. I thought I love the feature, but I'm not ever skipping the intro to Stranger Things. It's just way too
never
good.
Yeah. Ever. Also, add the skip intro option to the iPad version, because sometimes I don't want to watch the Star Trek intro again while I'm sitting on a treadmill.
Just to every single show on every device and everything, just have it skip intro, because,
Set a global default.
Yeah.
Have it, count down the way you do with sort of next episode, Press now to not skip intro. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except maybe on BoJack Horseman, because the intros change often enough that I like watching it. I watched all of BoJack Horseman. It's good.
I've heard it's alright.
Yeah, I recommend it. And don't take the first episode at face value. It looks like a dumb cartoon about a horseman, but it's actually a series about anxiety and depression.
Well, I mean, same with Rick and Morty. You can't really judge the show best in the first episode because it is kind of rough.
Exactly. Yeah, cool. So I think that pretty much covers everything I've been watching and playing this week. How about you?
Like I already finished Stranger Things last week, so finished that. That's pretty much... Like, I haven't really done much. Like I said, I've been catching up on other stuff. Just life, adult things.
Yeah. Well, fuck that noise, because the Punisher series starts the end of this week. So
hell yes.
You're back in...
I mean, that's a day. I'm back in for a day.
I've been doing it with Star Trek Discovery. I'm enjoying taking these 45-minute shows, downloading them onto my iPad app for Netflix, and using them as entertainment while I ride on the bike at the gym. Because my current workout regime requires a 45-minute bike ride, and I hate just sitting there on a bike, so it's nice to have 44 minutes and 20 seconds of entertainment to watch instead.
Actually, on the topic of Discovery, let's talk about the best episode of Discovery so far.
I am one episode behind.
Alright, but you would have seen this one. Okay. This is the Harry Mudd episode.
Not
the prison one. This is
the Shenanigans in Time?
Yes, the Time Loop episode.
That was a very good episode.
Hands down, best episode of Discovery so far.
Yeah. I'm also loving the massive character shift in... I don't remember what his character name is, but Anthony Rapp, who plays the engineer dude, the Wrangler.
Oh, where he's just all of a sudden gone, like, super weird.
Hippy-dippy groovy man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I found him really unlikable at the start, which was kind of unfortunate, I felt, because if you have your ginger man representation and B, your gay man representation, and he's just utterly unlikable. But it turns out you just needed to give it like 5 episodes.
I bought it as he's a scientist that's completely focused and didn't give a shit about anything outside of his field. But that's when you're not in a professional environment, I just assumed that, you know, he was quite all right and tones it way back. But you know, whatever.
Then you go home to your husband and brush your teeth with your crazy vibrator toothbrush.
It's called a sonic toothbrush because everything that cleans things in Star Trek world is sonic.
It looks weird and I don't like it. Although, do you have anything else to say about Star Trek? Because that's actually a very good lead into another thing I wanted to talk about.
No, just that episode with the Mudd time loop one is the best episode so far by a country mile.
It was.
Yeah.
Speaking of sonic toothbrushes, you know who else has a sonic device? The Doctor, the sonic screwdriver. And guess what? The new Doctor's costume was revealed this week.
Yeah, yay.
Yeah, this is the female Doctor, the first ever female Doctor. Not the first ever female Doctor.
I lost interest in the show many years ago.
I will send you a link to a costume just to have a look at it and see what your take is.
Gotcha. Hipster Doctor. It was bound to happen sooner or later.
And I had to laugh. So anyone who wants, I'll try and remember to put this in the show notes. But otherwise, just Google Doctor Who new costume. You'll see it. It's not a suit, which is what we've been subjected to for the last 3 Doctors. Some variation of a kooky suit. She's wearing like capri pants and suspenders and boots and a big cool jacket. I'm enjoying the fact that there are 2 distinct and separate rainbows on her costume. And a lot of people were going, oh, she's dressed like a manic pixie dream girl. But have you seen the previous Doctor's costumes? Not setting aside the guy with the bow tie and the fez, you had a guy who pinned celery to the front of his jacket, and the guy who had a weaponized umbrella, like the Penguin. So, really can't use that defense.
I'm not a massive fan of the hipster aesthetic, so it doesn't speak to me in any way. But yeah, I'd lost interest in the Doctor Who since like a season into the Matt Smith's run. I was just like, yeah, like, get it, it's Matt, the Doctor.
Yeah.
Like, by that point, they'd kind of, like, the best episode of Doctor Who is Blink. There's just no argument about that.
Very solid.
Yeah, and at that point, they knew that, like, by the time I lost interest, they knew that that was a gold episode and they were just mining it and it got terrible. I'm like, you ruined the best thing about your show. Just stop. I haven't got Sparrow and Nightingale as companions. I don't care.
Yeah, that was such a waste. Revisiting the angels a few too many times kind of burnt them out. Personally, I actually almost dropped Doctor Who during the 12th Doctor's run, Peter Capaldi. There was just a period in the middle there, in his second season, I think, where none of the episodes really interested me, and I was just watching it to keep up with talking to friends about it more than real enjoyment. His final season was pretty good, because they had Matt, what's his name? Big fat guy. He was the only gay in the village.
That guy. From Little Britain, Matt.
Little Britain, Matt, yes. Yeah. I'm going to look this up because otherwise it's going to bug me. Matt Lucas.
That's it, yeah.
Who, yes, was very entertaining in his role in The Doctor. And the other companion, Bill, who was a gay black woman, was a pretty big departure for Doctor Who, and they actively addressed it, which was nice, because guess what? Kids have met gay people, and black people, and women. Sometimes all in the same person.
Some kids are actually women, and some kids are black, and some kids are actually gay, so...
Or some combination of the three. So that was kind of cool, and I think, the companions more than the Doctor brought me back into it. But, yeah, I don't know, Peter Capaldi was a pretty good run, but... didn't wow me, so I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of character the new Doctor is going to be. The costume says kind of casual, kind of loopy. I also really enjoy the fact that that first photo they revealed, it's kind of set in front of a bright new dawn, which is some very subtle messaging. Also, the TARDIS looks a bit green, which could just be the lighting, but...
it's the lighting, yeah.
It looks... patchy, if nothing else. Like, it's been painted by someone who doesn't know what they're doing.
It is quite old now.
It is. And it goes through a revolution every Doctor. I didn't realize it until someone pointed out in comments on, internet articles. But the sign on the front is now white on black instead of black on white. And the St. John's ambulance symbol is gone. And I guess the dimensions are a bit different. But, it's the TARDIS. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, and we're in a... we're talking about a show where internal canon means absolutely nothing.
Oh, yeah. This
so, yeah, it doesn't.
Positively garbage. Yeah. I'm optimistic. I look forward to the introduction of the Doctor in the Christmas special end of this year. But, I mean, it's a woman. What's she going to do? Have a sonic tampon? Moving on.
I mean, I'm sure she'll do a great job. The Doctors always do a great job. But no one will ever be David Tennant.
No one will ever be David Tennant.
Yeah. Except Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, that's true. But let's not rewrite history. Let's move on. Other news. You wanted to tell me something about Battlefront 2's DLC, I believe.
Oh, yeah. So apparently some rumors have come out. I don't know how good they are, but it apparently has come from a leak. But someone is saying that the DLC for Star Wars Battlefront 2 is going to be free.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, you might say. Apparently not. Apparently, you have to actually unlock it in-game by using the in-game currency. And weirdly, by complete coincidence, you can actually buy in-game currency via microtransaction. But that's okay, because you can still unlock it via stuff you can earn without microtransactions, right? Well, that's kind of cool. Apparently, it's going to take you a long, long-ass time. We're talking... 30, 40 hours plus of grinding to get enough stuff to unlock a hero character. That's a hero character. And the DLC is going to cost more, apparently.
How's my background sound?
Oh, yeah, it's... It's accurate. Boy, I hope this is wrong. But if this is right, oh, man. How to kill a game before it even comes out.
I mean, I like trying to find a model where there's an option to unlock DLC... by playing the game that you like a lot. But there's no model of that that you can do where the amount of time required to get it free is remotely reasonable. unless you specifically play this game and only this game all hours of the day and also don't have a job.
Yeah, it does not seem like a great setup. Let's hope it's not true. It probably is because it's an EA thing, I think.
So when we're talking true. Like grinding, are we talking like arms unlock grinding?
Apparently, from what I heard, it takes sort of like 40 hours of constant playing to get enough credits to unlock a hero character. And apparently the DLC is going to cost more than a hero character.
Okay, here's how I'd like to see it done. You've got this in-game currency or whatever you earn from playing the game or winning matches or whatever the fuck. You don't have to use that exclusively to buy the DLC, but you can use it to discount the price of paying for it outright at the very least. So it costs 500 Ewok bucks, and you've earned 150 Ewok bucks because you fucking love Ewoks. And then you only have to spend $350 Ewok bucks worth of real world currency to bridge the gap.
Yeah, it's
it's not microtransactions
are bad. Modern DLC models are pretty bad. Online, the way the excuses for publishing games and I don't like that they announce DLC before the game's even come out. It seems like you just got... I just don't like how modern DLC and stuff is done. I don't like how the release is done where you have to download a day one patch, which is multiple gigs. How can it be a multiple gigs worth of engine stuff? Because at that point, no assets should be in downloadable content on day one. That should be all settled beforehand, unless you're downloading like extra from the disc.
On the announcement of DLC, I do like that kind of announcement, specifically in the case of season passes. I hate being asked to sign up for a season pass blind to what it'll actually contain. I don't need every detail, but at the very least saying, you know, this season pass will include 3 extra characters and 2 plot missions and 30 bloody multiplayer customization bullshits that I don't care about. That lets me kind of assess the value of that season pass for me, or if I need to pick out the bits I like and buy them individually, which will cost more per unit, but I'll spend less overall because I'm not buying the bits I don't care about.
The idea of a season pass is a whole nother evil. Let's hope it's not true. But it totally is.
Season passes, I haven't had as much of an issue with, partly because a lot of games that I play that require season passes to get that kind of extra content, I often end up reviewing them, so the only cost to me is the season pass, which doesn't put me in the same boat as a lot of people. But even then, I will resist it if it's just, you know, $40 for crap.
Yeah. So, yeah, cool. That's my apparent news. That's all hearsay, by the way. That's not set in stone. That's just what's come out, apparently. It's not true.
Well, in other DLC news, the final fighter pack, or the third fighter pack at least, was announced for Injustice 2. So far we've had Raiden and Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat. We had Hellboy, which was pretty cool. I'm going to forget most of them. There was a handful. Black Manta was in there. Whatever. The third pack has been announced. So 3 new fighters. Mm-hmm. There was heaps of rumors going around about what it was. Because an early teaser was released showing the very first snippet of the kind of cinematic trailer that was going to introduce the new characters, and it showed Black Manta getting knocked to the ground and then a cigarette butt getting dropped on the ground. So everyone was like, oh shit, it's Constantine. No, it's not. Cigarette actually has nothing to do with anything, because the hero being revealed at that point was the Atom, who I don't know has ever been particularly famous for being a smoker, but does make for a pretty cool fighter. The other fighters were the Enchantress.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess she's getting more prominence because of the Suicide Squad movie. Mm-hmm. And third, the wild card is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
So all of them? Or are they just all the same one but like different costume?
All of them as a single fighter.
Yeah, so different costume.
Yeah, so different costumes, different weapons. I'm assuming it's going to be some sort of trade-in, trade-out kind of thing. In the same way, you know, some heroes might have multiple forms or something like that. You'll be able to kind of cycle them in and out. Maybe one of the other turtles will jump in as kind of a defense move or something like that. They haven't revealed any footage of gameplay for the turtles yet that I've been able to see, but damn, that's a weird pull.
It is. It's very, very weird, considering that the turtles are in the Marvel universe, because the goo that made them belonged to Daredevil. So weird.
Yeah, it's a weird combo, but I mean, they've had some odd pulls so far. I'm just trying to pull up the full character list for the DLC.
There was a Batman Turtles crossover recently, wasn't there?
There has been in the last year.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, come on, give me a full Injustice DLC list. Yeah, that's almost the word that I was looking for. Okay, yeah, so the first pack, list of all DCL characters, there we go. Yeah, because honestly it feels like a lot of good DC characters have been shortchanged by some of the extra inclusions. Okay, so first DLC pack was Sub-Zero, Starfire, and Red Hood. I believe they were the first one.
Sure. And
who else have we got? Black Manta, Raiden. This list is not very helpful, and it's also claiming that Spawn's in the game, which he's not. A lot of people thought Spawn was going to be in the game. Yes, that would have been cool.
That would be great.
Considering I still have
the Spawn movie off the ground as well.
Yeah, and I have the original Spawn movie on my media server, waiting for me to watch it when I'm truly desperate.
I actually quite like that movie.
I do too.
It's a moment of the 90s.
Yes. Yeah, so I don't know if this will be the final DLC pack, or it's the last one they've announced for the first season or whatever, because they've said that they want this to be a game that's around for a long time. So more DLC characters wouldn't be out of the realm of the possible, because I think we're only now at about the amount we had for the first Injustice game overall, where they added, like, Lobo and Batgirl and all that stuff. Yeah, so I'd be happy to see more characters, because Constantine would make for a really cool fighter.
Lots of summony. He was standing there looking surly and then summoning various things
to kill you. Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
Yeah, so the full DLC list, just to summarize. First pack, Red Hood, Starfire, Sub-Zero. Second pack, Black Manta, Raiden, and Hellboy. And third pack is Adam, Enchantress, and all of the turtles. So,
awesome.
Yeah. I'm impressed they managed to make them all kind of consistently styled to work together. But still, come on, there's so many.
If they're going to do the turtles, they should have just released a whole pack that was the turtles, Shredder, Splinter, and Krang. Just release all of them in like one big pack.
Krang
would be awesome.
Oh man. And let's be honest, a lot of heroes you could just double up as being skins for other heroes moveset. Beautiful from Rocksteady. Because they did heaps, like, you know, Supergirl and Power Girl, Black Lightning and someone else, Vixen instead of the Cheetah. So yeah, you can just make a fresh skin, slap it on some existing moves, and we'll still be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Except if you make us pay for that skin at an exorbitant price.
Yep.
So yeah, that's Injustice 2. Not DLC, but patch news. So Sonic Forces came out last week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping to get my hands on a copy at some point. Because I don't know if I want to pay for that game, because it is apparently not great.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently someone did some data mining in the most recent or upcoming patch for the game, and they found in the source files extra customization options for your kind of, OC character,
mm-hmm.
Including a shirt that has Sonic on it, that crappy drawing of Sonic
that's pretty funny.
For a while. And also supersonic moves, which apparently you can't turn supersonic in the game, whatever. But yeah, a Sonic shirt kind of nods towards them having a familiarity with their audience, if not how to make a good game.
Mm.
But I can't really judge too much. I haven't played it yet, so I will hold off full judgment until I've played it and then tell you how bad it is.
Excellent. The way it should be.
But yeah, that's about all I have for this week.
Yeah, I got nothing.
So yeah, there's two games coming out this week that kind of surprised me that I guess I'll end up playing. There's a new Pokemon game, the Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, coming out on Friday or Saturday. Still not willing to pick it up outright until they confirm that I get to go back to Kanto region, because, I mean, I've heard good things, but I haven't heard you can go back to the Kanto region.
Anything that's not that is just, well, I've already played the game.
Exactly. I mean, new story stuff, sure, but it's basically just an expansion of the original game, and you won't be able to transfer your saves, so who cares?
What is even the point?
The other game that's coming out this week is, this Wednesday, LEGO Marvel Super Heroes 2, which, yep, LEGO, Marvel, lots of characters, should be good.
I imagine it's just like playing in the first game.
Quite possibly.
Extra characters.
So LEGO Marvel Super Heroes, the first one was an original story, then they made LEGO Marvel's The Avengers, which was recreations of scenes from the Avengers films and a couple of other kind of individual hero titles, and this one is another original story about Kang the Conqueror smushing a bunch of time zones together into a giant city. So basically an excuse to have a bunch of different regions, you know, normal Manhattan, the noir stories, space, the Old West. No one cares about the Old West. Underwater for, I guess, Atlantis. No one cares about water levels. And Kun Lun from Iron Fist and all that crap. I will play it. I haven't finished a LEGO game in a while, but I do play a lot of them.
Yeah, they're all the same.
After a while, yeah. They all kind of blend together, but maybe...
You probably still can't play online multi-co-op, so what's the point?
Definitely can't. They're never going to listen to you on that one.
Well, they're never going to get me to buy a game.
Maybe I'll gift it to you just so it's there sitting in your inventory, non-multiplayable.
I've got a bunch of LEGO games in my collection. I just don't ever play them because I can't play them online with my friends. And playing them by myself just seems kind of sad. Because they're mess about games. The games I just want to mess about with my mates.
Yeah, it's definitely a game that's always been good. Like, the way they do split screen is good, but it's not enough, really.
No.
But, yeah, maybe I'll have some things to say about that officially next week. We'll see. Otherwise, it seems like, for me at least, there's a gap until December after that. There's just no games that I care about. And luckily, the Xenoblade Chronicles 2 comes out on Switch right before I leave for my two-week trip to America, so that'll be good for playing time.
Sweet.
Because RPG...
Mm-hmm.
Anything coming up for you that you're interested in?
Not really.
Ash's Cricket?
Yes, I definitely want to get my hands on that. Because good times. It's now cricket season, so I'm all about it. That's about it.
I am not. So that's the end of that sentence. It's weird, like, normally October, November is like really packed. But it's felt pretty light this year.
It was September, October that was packed this year, I think.
Yeah, it kind of started early. Mm. Even though I don't think there was many things that jumped out at me. Although looking at my sort of release date schedule spreadsheet that I keep for all the games I care about, because fuck you, I'm organized. I did have Knack 2 on there. Surprisingly, did not pick that one up. Still don't intend to. It came out at $55 for a PS4 game, which is like almost half price. But I will still wait till it drops to $20 before I even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
$20 and nothing else coming out for at least a month. Yeah. I think that'll be the metric.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that will just about do us for this week.
Mm-hmm.
I am intending to go see Justice League next couple of days, so I will be able to talk about that. Are you intending to see it, Cliff?
I will see it at some point, but I don't know when.
We also said we were going to make a Thor spoiler episode. Maybe, eventually.
Maybe.
Maybe.
If you haven't seen it, you should still totally see it. It's great.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Because, fun fact, director Taika Waititi and star Chris Hemsworth are two of the male Hollywood celebrities who have not yet been indicted on horrible sexual assault charges. So let's enjoy it while it lasts.
They've not yet been accused of horrible charges.
Yeah. Yes, we've had a conversation off air about that. I like that it's happening to pull people up on their bullshit, but I also am constantly in fear that people that I enjoy the work of will get pulled up for it as well. So it's a double-edged sword. A double-edged sword of creepy dudes.
if you have a lot of sway in the world, and everyone in Hollywood does, there's not a person that hasn't used that sway to try and have some fun times. Now, sometimes it's illegal fun or legal means, other times it's not. But everyone, you know that everyone is like, you know, you're a pretty powerful dude and there's a cute girl and you go like, hey, look, I'm in the movies and stuff. I'm super famous. And like a person hasn't ever used that to get stuff. They get free shit all the time just by doing that. So,
yeah. Please don't ruin my favorite people, Hollywood. Please don't let me find out that they've ruined themselves.
Well, that's up to them. They will ruin themselves.
Yeah. Oh, well, on that inspiring note, thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of The Indoorsman, your weekly dose of gaming and movies and TV, which we didn't actually talk about, and Hollywood gossip, I guess?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. So thanks, and tune in next week when we talk about who's getting a facelift, I guess. No one cares.
Yeah, no one gives a shit. If you like our opening and closing music, it is Spark Sidechain Compression on Game Boy by Rocco W. Go to Bandcamp or, you know, any other place on the internet. You can just search for Rocco W or Fox Sidechain Compression on Game Boy, and you'll probably get a whole bunch of results for him. Check it out. His stuff is very, very good. 8-bit tuney stuff.
If you'd like to find us online, you can find us at indoorsmanpodcast.com or at indoorsmanpod for the Facebooks, the Tweeters, and the Instagrams. And the third one is the one where you can find our cover art, which is very good. If I do say so myself.
I wonder who of the two of us does that.
I don't know.
Yeah, weird. If you want to get in contact with us directly on Twitter, you can get me at CliffandMonkey or Matt at Ponk. And if you want to actually send us an email, you can get to us via contact@indoorsmanpodcast.com.
That is, in fact, correct. We'd also really like it if you could subscribe to the show on your podcast medium of choice, review it, rate it, share it, write a story about it and stick it on a phone pole outside your house, climb up on the roof of your workplace and yell the name of it.
I mean, don't do that, because we're not in any way telling you to climb up very, very high places that are dangerous.
We are in no way culpable for what happens to you if you do this. It's merely a suggestion for comedy purposes. It's parody. Don't sue us. Instead, rate our podcast and tell other people how good it is when we're not recommending that you try and grievously harm yourself by accident.
Stay inside where it's safe.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole gist of the podcast.
Exactly. But for now, he's been Matt.
And he has been Cliff. And by indoorsman tradition, we'll send you off by saying... I got nothing.
I was just going to see where you're going. I was just going to draw it out there. Silence longer. I've got nothing.
Okay, we talked about Mario Odyssey. Let's-a-go away now.
I mean, that's a super racist accent.
Hey, don't blame me. Blame that guy who voices Mario and Luigi and Wario and Waluigi. It's the same guy, and he kind of looks creepy.
I mean, so do all the characters you just said, so...
Yeah. I can dress Mario up as Waluigi now. It's the best. Except his voice doesn't change, which is disappointing.
Boo.
Waluigi. Meh! Okay, I'm definitely done now. Yeah.
Stopping recording.
Goodbye, internet.